So today we're going to start in the book of Philippians. We're just going to jump right in. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 4. And we're going to do this a little bit differently today, okay? So rather than me read to you, we're actually going to all read this together, okay? So you can kind of read it. You could read it kind of quietly. You could even just kind of read it to yourself, or you could read it out loud. It's fine. It doesn't matter. But we're going to just read this all together. And I want you to, as we read this, I want you to pick out the verbs, okay? And don't get like, I know this has been years since all of us have had English class. And even as I was trying to work this out this morning, I was like, is that a verb? Or is that an adverb? Is that an adjective? Like, I couldn't even remember all my like word stuff. So anyway, so just don't worry about all that, okay? And all the English majors in here, then just be nice to all the rest of us that aren't there. And so, but so I want you to, as we read this, though, to think about like what the verbs or the action words are as we kind of read this together out loud. Okay, are you ready? Go. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Okay, pause right there. Like, so I when I read that and it said, remember, the Lord is coming soon, I was like, does that mean like, hey, mom's coming home, so you better quit? Like, was that the tone? I wondered. Like, was it like, hey, wait. Okay, so, all right, go to the next one. Don't worry about anything. Okay, wait, stop right there. Wow. Okay, next. All right. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things, excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so question before we dive into the verbs, the action words. How much peace do you have in your life currently on a scale of 0 to 10? Just rhetorical, just think about it. Kind of just think about how much peace do you have? Like a couple indicators, how do you sleep at night? Other indicators, how's your stomach? how's your indigestion? How's your, you know, like those are indicators. So how much peace do you have in your life? All right. So now just kind of get where you're at. And you may be like, hey, I am great. I really have a lot of peace. Well done. Like for most of us, we're probably like below 5, right? You know, maybe 4, 3, 2, some maybe even at like 1, maybe 0.5, you know. But wherever you're at in the peace level in your life, from what we just read, there can be more. Like we were made to have a whole nother level of peace. And peace isn't just absence of conflict. If you want to dive a little more into what the word peace means, I encourage you to find the Bible Project video on peace. They define really well what because kind of absence of conflict is like kind of one side, a little bit of a part of it, but there's a whole lot more. And so, all right. So what action word stood out to you as we read that? If you want to just put maybe, I guess, click through. I know it's not there. If you got your Bibles, you can kind of say it. Does anyone like go back to the very beginning? There you go. All right. So we'll just click through real fast. Any action words? Yeah. Rejoice. Okay, good. All right. Next. Go to the next one. See. Yep. Okay. Remember, consider it. Okay. Next. Here we go. Action words. Pray. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Worry. That's right. Okay. Tell. Good. Thank. Okay, stop right there. All right, we're going to just talk about this one for just a little bit. All right. So what is the writer telling us to do in this passage? All right. And I kind of, we read, you know, a little bit of a longer part of it so we can kind of get the context of kind of what he's saying. But right here, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then he says, what happens when we do these things? Next verse. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay, go back to the last verse. Okay, so don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So right now, we're going to stop. And is there something that you've been anxious or worrying about that you can pray about? Let's just close our eyes, and we're going to do it right now. We're just going to do it, all right? So everybody just close your eyes, and just you and God, just talk to him. And is there something you've been worrying about? Maybe family stuff, maybe work stuff, maybe just future capabilities, health, financial, whatever that is that's been worrying you. Now talk to God about it, just quietly under your breath in your heart. Now tell God what you need. All right. So the writer doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, thank him for what he's done. Right. So he says, thank him for what he's done. So what has God done for you? What's God done in your friendships? Maybe in your relationships with your family, maybe in your relationship with him? Has he shown himself faithful to you? Has he shown himself loving to you? Has God come through for you when you thought there was no way and he takes care? What are the things that he's done for you? So now let's do this. Let's stop and let's take a minute and let's just thank God for what he's done. Just again, you and him. So close your eyes. This is just you and him. And thank God for what he's done. All right. How many feel a little better already? Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Like, you know, we get into grooves in our thinking, and we'll just keep going there, and we'll just keep going there and going there and going there. But you stop, and there is such an incredible power in expressing our thanks to God and getting ourselves intentionally to think about what God has done for us. It's so like, it just is so freeing. All right. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to move into Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And if you've never heard me teach before, this is different than what I normally do, but I have a point. I'm getting somewhere. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This, we are going to read this in four different translations of the Bible. Okay. So the Bible was originally written in ancient languages. This is the New Testament, a New Testament verse in the book of Philippians. So it was originally written in Greek, and they've translated it into English way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And since then, they keep translating it into English again and again, because if you don't know, like, our English language has evolved a lot. And then culture, the people around us make words change meanings, right? And so if we look at, like, the original English translation from Greek from way, way, way back in the day, they're going to say words that to them meant one thing, but to us mean something completely different, because their culture, the people around them, even, you know, we all know words that from England to Australia to the U.S., all English words, they mean completely different things, right? And so they could mean a cuss word. It could mean something really good. It could mean something really bad, and you don't even know, right? So it's the same way with translation. So sometimes people ask, like, why are there so many translations? Can they not decide or whatever, you know? But really, it is people endeavoring to take those ancient writings and put them into words that make sense and that apply to our lives. Because if it doesn't apply to our lives, just forget it. You know, like, I'm not a follower of Jesus because I want to be theoretical. You know, this has transformed who I am because I want to become more like Jesus. And I believe it's the same for everyone here, that we are being transformed into the image of Christ to become more like him. That is our goal as a follower of Jesus. But if the words don't make sense, then how can we take a look at it? Like it says in the Bible, like we look in a mirror and we turn away. In James, it says you look at the word and it's like a mirror, and then you turn away and you forget what it says because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't register. Like, how does that even apply to our lives? So we're going to look at this in four different versions, Philippians 4, verse 8, just this one verse. So we're going to read it this time. We don't have to read it out loud, but I'm going to read it out loud, and I want you with your eyes and under your breath, read it to yourself, okay? So, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's the New Living Translation. The next one we're going to read is the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Okay, the next one we're going to read is the Amplified Bible. They kind of take a bunch of translations, kind of pack it all in there, and like kind of, it's amplified. Like, it's not really loud. It's just says a lot. Okay. And so digs in a little, you'll understand. Okay. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. See, it kind of clarifies that word true a little bit there. Whatever is pure and wholesome. Whatever is lovely and brings peace. Whatever is admirable and of good repute. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Good. All right, here we go. The Message. This is one of my favorites. I love this so much. Okay, here we go. This is a guy, a theologian, and he did this translation because he was like, I'm not going to do a word for word, even a thought, kind of more of a thought for thought translation, but he was like, I'm going to take this and apply it kind of to like modern culture. So all the examples are things that are kind of like we're exposed to every day. So some people love it. Some people don't love it. I love it. Okay, here we go. All right. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. So here he goes. And he says, fix your thoughts on true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. So you could kind of see the difference between all the different translations, but you get the idea, right? So reading it in the four different translations, you kind of get a feeling kind of for, it's kind of resonating a little bit, that we are supposed to put our mind on certain things, right? And certain things that qualify in category, like in this, they have to hit these marks right here, right? So this is what we're supposed to fix our mind on, things that are defined by these things here, right? Okay, so contemplating this verse, thinking about a little bit a couple of days ago, I kind of was struck with the fact that we could choose what to fix our thoughts on. So you could put that other one back up there, Robert, sorry. Yeah, that one right there. We can choose what to fix our thoughts on. We can choose, let's contrast these a little bit. We can fix our thoughts on truth versus the lie. Okay, so let's just think about the opposite of what these words are. And then, if you dare, think about how your thoughts have been lately. This is where it gets messy. All right, so, and a little painful. Where have your thoughts been versus in kind of these things? On what is true versus a lie? How about what is noble versus common? Ooh. Reputable versus untrustworthy. Authentic, maybe, versus false. Compelling versus discouraging. Best, worst, they gave us those. Beautiful, ugly. Praise, curse. Now think about how you've been thinking about maybe someone in your life, or maybe your job, or maybe your finances, or maybe even yourself. Are you thinking thoughts about yourself, your job, your God, your relationship with God? Do they fit these categories, or on which side? Are they on the list that's approved thoughts, or the list that are not approved thoughts? Like if we want to, you know, follow some rules or something, right? But it's our choice what we think about. So what we just did there with those verses, Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9, is I walked us through some meditating. We were meditating on that verse. What did we do? We read it out loud. We read it slow. We thought about the tenses of some of the different words that are in there, right? We reflectively said, hey, how does this apply to my life? Where does this come out? Like, what do I need to change? We acted on it. We thanked God for those things. Then we thought about this. We read it in a few different translations to kind of get another deeper feel for it. Then we even contrasted and thought it. What we were doing is that is meditating on the Word of God. That's what we just all walked through, meditating on the Word of God. So all of you that have heard messages on meditating, because the Bible does say meditate on his word day and night, you know, and you'll find favor and good report. And, you know, we all know about that. But what really does that, is that like us going, finding our zen, la, 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 I'm meditating, I'm peaceful. As I stretch and do my yoga, I'm stretched, peaceful, I am peaceful. No, that is not what this is. That is not what this is talking about. And so now it may produce that kind of like a zenny kind of peace in your life when you start thinking about this. But the word meditate means to ponder. It actually means to murmur. And actually that word, I'm uncomfortable with this, but in the Hebrew, it sometimes can even mean complain. I feel like that doesn't really line up with my like kind of like what I want it to mean, but it is what it is. So I was like, all right, Lord, why complain? Like that seems weird. That seems like too, that's like negative, you know? But in order for me to get to complaining, where do I have to start? Where do you start to get to complaining? You're thinking about it, right? Something happens, then you start thinking about it. And then what do? You think about it some more. And then you think about it some more. Then you probably maybe talk to somebody about it, and then you're thinking about it, and then you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're thinking about it, and then you're like drinking your coffee and you're thinking about it, and you're driving in the car and you're thinking about it, and then you start getting mad. And then you get on the phone and you call somebody and then you think, and you get to the point where you're like, my life is awful. I hate this. This is the worst. You know what that is? That's complaining, right? But you don't just start right there. It like is rooted in a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens right here. So that is meditating. But I am here to tell you today that we all have a choice. We can go, we can let it go to there, or we can stop it here. And we can redirect and change our thoughts, our thinking. David taught maybe a year or two ago, he taught about like how our thinking and our life, we get in ruts. And we're like, you know, like they used to, the roads, if you ever driven on like a gravel country road and the rain washes it and then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, and then it's kind of hard and you have to try and drive on the shoulder so you don't slip into the ruts. Our thinking is the same way. We will by default, generally 97% of us will go super negative, super quick, right? We'll go there really, really quickly. But just because that's always been the way that we've gone doesn't mean that that needs to be the way that we go, right? Because we can be intentional in our thinking. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be intentional. All right. I'm going to teach you guys a new word. This was a new word for me. All right. But some of you guys, you smart people will know this word, but I didn't. Okay, here we go. If we aren't intentional, we will be untenable. Okay. So what is untenable? Untenable is dictionary definition, especially of a position or a view, not able to be maintained or defended against an attack or objection. Okay. So both of these words, intentional and untenable, have the root word ten in it, T-E-N, right? You know what other word has ten in it is tenant, right? So it has to do with occupancy, right? It has to do with what resides, what lives there. Y'all know where I'm going now, right? Okay, so you're feeling this. All right, if we aren't intentional, then we will be untenable. Untenable is not defendable, okay? So what is occupying your mind or your thoughts? If we're not intentional, we will be untenable. A good picture of this is imagine a home or your home, right? And we take off all the windows, we take off all the doors, okay? We got a couple of pictures here I want to show you of some houses without windows or doors, okay? Because if we didn't have windows or doors, what happens is whatever wants to come in, comes in, right? The mice, spiders, the dogs, the cats, the kids. They come in, they go out. They come in, they go out. They come in, they go out, right? The heat, the air, come in, it goes out. Birds, in, out. Chickens, in, out. All the things, right? All that stuff, in, out, in, out, in, out. Because there are no, there you go. So there's, you know, whatever, over the years, this house got destroyed in the windows and stuff. So what happens to it? It's untenable. Whatever wants to come in, comes in. Whatever wants to go out, goes out. If we aren't intentional in our thinking, we will be untenable in our thinking. All right. Do we have another one? I think there were two. If it's not working, okay, it's fine. It's all good. So you guys get the picture, though, that it is up to us to put those windows back up, to close the doors and be intentional in our thinking, right? So back in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatever things are pure, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. So that word true, many of us live in, well, we all do. We all live in like with perceived reality, right? We all live in what we define as truth to us is our perceived reality. So what I mean by that is this, is that like if my whole life, every time I tried to do something new, someone laughed at me and made fun of me because I screwed up, then what would my reality be when every time I tried to do something new? What would I believe to be true about myself? that I can't do it. I can't do anything, right? I can't try. Every time I try, I mess up. Every time I'm a failure, right? That would be my perceived reality, my truth, right? Or maybe every time I stepped out and I invited someone to go, you know, for coffee or like in a, reached out in friendship and people were unavailable, right? They couldn't come or whatever. And I maybe had a big friend group explosion or whatever. Then what would my perceived reality be about friends? It's not safe, right? I don't belong. There's something wrong with me. I can't find anyone I connect with, right? That now the question is my perceived reality the truth? Or is there somewhere else? Is there something else that is truth? So I like to define truth as reality as God sees it. What does God see? What is his perceived reality, or actually the reality? Because many times what I perceive as real does not match up with what God sees and what God says is real, right? So in those instances that every time I tried to do something, I messed up, I couldn't do it, I failed, then my perceived reality be that I am a loser, I can't do anything, I'm purposeless, I don't belong. Or in the other example about friendships, nobody wants to be around me, I just, you know, I am unwelcome everywhere I go, right? Is that what God would think about me? No. But how, if only God had written down some thoughts towards us, if he would have just written down some thoughts towards us to tell us about ourselves and how he sees us, then this would be so much easier, right? Yeah. Right? Okay, yeah, you get it. You know, it's okay. It's here. It's right here. God wrote down the truth. There is truth in here that we need to measure up against our perceived reality. And if our perceived reality does not line up with the truth, then something needs to give. So what's going to give? Is it God's truth going to give? Because most of the time, that's what happens. Truth, honestly, if you all want to be honest, if we have our perceived reality is different than God's truth, then we, a lot of the time, go with our perceived reality. But do we have to? Nope. Do we have a choice? Yep. We have a choice. We have a choice what we think about, what we meditate on. Now, the exercise that we went through with this scripture, to meditate on the scripture, to think about it, to ask the questions, to let it set. Even while we were doing it, some of you probably even got some other little things that kind of like settled in your heart a little bit. God was kind of like challenging you about a couple of things and stuff like that. That's awesome. That's how it should be. So when we spend time reading the Bible, sometimes it doesn't even have to be that long. I think that was like 10, maybe minutes at the beginning of the message that we took. And you know what? If you can't do that every day because things are just so crazy in your life, it's okay. Pick one day. Do it one day this week. Just do one day. Pick a subject. What's something that you need to know? God's thoughts versus your thoughts. Right. It could be like, ask the question, am I loved? Am I really loved? Am I really, really loved? Do I have a purpose? Can I really, really, really be free? God, do you have things for me to do? God, are there people around me that are safe to be friends with? Lord, do I belong? Like, ask those questions. God, do I have to be afraid? Lord, what do you say about worry? God, what do you say about your care for me? Take those questions and then find some scriptures. Google is the greatest thing. Let's leverage it for the good. Okay. Like be like scriptures about fear and boom, it pops up. Scriptures about God's love for me. Boom. You know, go to the church. Actually, the church website, we have a section that's, I think, called Spiritual Health that has a bunch of great resources on it too, that are fabulous. And so, but you guys, listen, we have to find out what the truth is versus our perceived reality about the things that we're facing. And then we have to do something, right? Okay, so here we go. We're going to close with this. Let's put that scripture up there. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, again, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If we get our minds under control and we go there, but then he doesn't end there. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Okay, wait. Does that mean that like after today, you all are going to leave and this is going to be great? You guys are never going to have a negative thought. Your identity problems are all solved. You guys are going to be solid in your relationship with God and with others. Everything is going to be like amazing. Amen. No, that would be great, wouldn't it? I know. That would be awesome. But what does it say? It says, keep putting into practice. Right. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about time you started practicing. I know. I'm feeling all fiery. No. David's not here. He's like, he keeps me nice. And so, all right. So keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me. So not just some of the things, not just the things that are convenient for you, not just the things that you agree with. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And what is the promise here? Then the God of peace will be with you. So I did a study a little while ago about the word blessed, because I've always been like, what does that word blessed mean? You know, like, because that word blessed is like, you know, happy, hey, you know, I am blessed as the man who puts his trust in the Lord. Blessed, I'm blessed in city, I'm blessed country, I'm blessed, 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 blessed. You know, like I've always been like, the happy just doesn't seem, it just never settled all the way, right? But I knew it was like a truth, but it was a truth that like nobody but us church people say blessed. Like whenever I was, okay, so my internet, when we had a bad storm Friday night, the power went out like half the night. And then we wake up in the morning and our internet is down, right? So we get on the phone, go through all the trouble steps, unplug the thing, plug the thing, unplug the other thing, plug the thing. Then you do the thing, you do all the things. I did all the things before I got on the phone with tech support. Cause what did they have me do? All the things again, you know, because this isn't my first go around with tech support, right? You know, for the internet. So I go through all the things again, and I'm being patient, I'm being loving, I'm being kind. Like, yes, okay, yeah, I did try that. Yes, it is plugged in. Yep, the light is red. Like I told you at the beginning of the conversation, the light is red. Yep, it's red. I'm being really nice and not sarcastic, nothing. I'm being really nice. And so I'm going through all the steps, and then the guy finally, after like 15 minutes, goes, ma'am, yeah, there is an outage in your area. Okay, well, thank you very much. It'll be back in the next 24 hours. I'm like, okay, great, thanks. That was like 15 minutes of my life I don't get back, you know? And so I'm going to start billing you guys for that, you know? So then, get up this. So 24 hours, it should have been all resolved, all right? So was it resolved this morning? No, it wasn't resolved. So what I decided to do is I was like, well, I'm just going to get on the phone with the internet company and I'm just going to tell them on the way in that it's still not working, just so they can know that, hey, they need to send somebody out again. All right. So I go and I, like a good tech support person, said, I went through and I restarted the modem before I got on the phone again. I restarted the modem. I restarted the little white box and plugged it back in and checked all the cables, made sure everything was all plugged in. I did all the things just to see if perchance before I wasted their time, I was going to, you know, was going to come back on, and it didn't come back on. Slide still red. So I get on the phone. I can't even remember all the things why I said all this stuff to. This is, oh, blessed. Okay. This is blessed. Okay. This is all blessed. Okay. So, all right. So we go through and basically I go through the same thing. And then the guy gets me on the phone. He's like, yes, ma'am, I'm going to need you to do some work for me there. And he's being like all kind and whatever. And I had to do all the steps again with him. Some of the steps I had to repeat twice. I'm like, I got to go. I really got to go. No, I really, really, really got to go. And so anyway, I can't even remember the point of that whole story. Blessed. All right. But anyway, so our internet still isn't working, but blessed is happy, right? So, is not happy. Blessed is not happy. If you look at the word, like in the Hebrew culture, blessed is,
kind of contrasted with the idea of miracles, right? So miracles are like God's supernatural, like divine intervention. Like he splits the Red Sea. He does water into wine. He feeds the 5,000. He miraculously makes the guy's arm straighten out and is healed. He heals the lepers. It's all the way gone. Those are miraculous, right? That is God's miraculous intervention. I love that stuff so much, right? That is the best. It's wonderful. I don't know if it's the best, but it's good. All right. So, but the contrast of it is the miracles, God's miraculous intervention. But blessed, rather than just meaning like happy, the blessed word is like God's continual presence with you as you walk through your day. It is his subtle help, him walking with you, him whispering to you, him talking to you, him walking you through what to do when everything is going wrong, him talking to you, him comforting your heart when you're broken hearted and you're disappointed, him giving you solutions when you're puzzled, when you're completely at a loss, him pouring out his love on you. That is blessed. So you see, God does miraculously intervene, but blessed is he wants to be with you all the time, day in and day out of your life. We are, when it says blessed in back, when it talks about if you obey the law, it says you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. What does that mean? God's going to be with you in the city. God's going to be with you in the country. You're going to be blessed when you go in. God's with you when you go in. God's with you when you go out. You're going to be blessed. Your feeding trough is blessed. That means God is with it. You know, it's good. Things are good. Things are going to go good for you, right? And so this scripture right here at the very end, when it says, then the God of peace will be with you, it's the same idea. That the God of peace, you will be blessed. God is with you as you go all the way through the day. But you know what? Some of us are like, God's not with me. I don't feel him. I don't nothing. God's not with me, right? Yeah. But it doesn't just work that way. This is conditional. Like we just went over all the things that we are to do. Right. He gave us some pretty clear instruction about how we are to live our lives. And when there's a conflict of the way you're living your life and the way God says you should live your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, you let your way go and you do it his way. That's what followers of Jesus do, is we should be always changing and always growing. That doesn't mean that we just accept ourselves. I'm just a fearful person. I was a fearful person for years. Doesn't mean you don't just stay there. You can reckon that I am afraid. Yes. But then what do? Do we stay there? Is fear on that list of things that should occupy our mind? No, it is not. So if we stay there and we think about that and we dwell on that, we think about all the things that are going to go wrong and all the things that we've done wrong and all of that stuff, we just stay right there, then you know what? That doesn't qualify us for the God of peace to be with you, right? Because we're not fixing our thoughts on what is pure. So what does God say about you? What does God say about your kids? What does God say about your family? What does God say about your job? What does God say about your health? What does God say about your purpose? Because our lives are not meant to be lived for just us. Right. You are here on this planet because God has need of you. Right. There are people in your family, yes. People outside of your family, yes. There are people that you work with that need you. There are people that are at the grocery store that need you. There are people at the gym that need you. There are people at your school that need you. There are people that God has brought into you, into your world, because he has need of you to do that. We should be people that walk in such incredible peace and such incredible joy, because, and that people are like, what is it with you? Like everyone around here is all like losing their minds, but you're like, okay. And you're like, well, I'm okay, because you know what? The God of peace is with me. The God of all peace that like blows our minds. In fact, right here at the beginning of Philippians 4, this is so good. It says, tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Like this is mind blowing.
is what, if this was the Julie translation, that's what I would say. This piece is mind-blowing. It'll blow everyone's minds because it is such peace. And his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. As what? As you live, as I live in Christ Jesus, as I do. Does that mean I'm not doing my own thing? No, that means I am living in Christ Jesus, submitted to him, doing things his way, doing what he says, living, loving God with all my heart and loving others as I love myself, right? And so that's how this stuff works. So if we are not intentional in our thinking, we will become untenable. So how do you change your thoughts? How do you change the way that your thought, you just start thinking about something else. So you find the truth. So there are, like I said, there are things, I think I Googled like who I am in Christ statements, and this one came up. I'll leave it up here if anybody wants it. But this one, it's just really simple. Like, I am accepted, I'm secure, I'm significant. These are all things that God says about you. You know, there's all kinds of links on the church website to all kinds of truths about you, what God says about you, about your purpose, about how he wants to help you and intervene in your life, you know, how he wants to use you to further his kingdom, to do his work on this planet. And so I would encourage you, think about these things, meditate on these things. You don't have to do a deep dive study like we did a little bit this morning, but you could just get one of these and memorize it. Like John 1:12, I am God's child. I am God's child. God, I am your child. I am your daughter. God, I am your daughter. I am your daughter. I am your child. I'm your child. And you just think about it all throughout the day. You could put it on your phone, your splash screen on your phone. You could write it on your hand. You could put it on a little note card and put it in the bathroom, whatever. Put it in your on your dash or something, you know, so that you see it all. But take a truth and then just begin to think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you truth. But think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Say it out loud. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Say it out loud. And then the God of peace will be with you. So let's just pray. God, we just love you so much. God, we thank you for your peace that does pass all understanding. God, you are with us. So Lord, right now, God, we repent, God, for when we've let our minds just go wherever they wanted to go, be led about to places that they shouldn't be. So God, right now, God, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you for your thoughts and your wisdoms toward us. In Jesus' name. Now with everybody with your eyes closed, if you're here and maybe you just need to reconnect with God, maybe you're just not at a good place, kind of like in your walk with God, but you've been kind of doing your own thing, but you want to today to just kind of like make a decision. You're making a decision even just right now that I want to start just giving my life, yielding my life to him. I want to start doing things God's ways. And then if that's you, just want you just to raise your hand. And we can pray for you. I want to look across the room a couple times. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. All right. Let's all just repeat this together. Say, God, I give you my life. I give you my mind, my heart, my body, my soul, every part of me. I give to you. I want to be like you. Jesus, I accept your forgiveness for all the times I've done my own thing. I lived my own way. All the times I've despaired. And I receive your mercy and your forgiveness. So here's my life. Use me, God, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys. Well, this is it. This is the end. This is the end. All right, you guys. You guys are dismissed. And if this is your first time, come back next week and hear my husband preach. He's really, really good. And so, thanks, you guys.